So I'm going to be talking about this package per meter. I should preface this with, this is very, very preliminary. There's a lot of code up there on GitHub, but it's certainly a work in progress right now. So I'm going to go through a little bit why we're working on this package, the idea behind it. And we're really building it around case studies of data. So I'm going to talk through two examples that we're including in the package. And finally, where I see the role of software development in statistics. So permutation tests date back to Fisher in the 30s. He developed them for analyzing experiments. And they're great because the assumptions are about exchangeability or randomization in the data that you observe rather than parametric things. However, they were largely replaced by parametric hypothesis tests just because it was computationally infeasible to enumerate all possible permutations. But now they're making a comeback because we can do that. And I like this quote by Bradley, who said, "A corresponding parametric test is valid only to the extent that it results in the same statistical decision as the randomization test." So basically, like, the randomization test is the bar you should be aiming for, so why not do it? R already has a bunch of randomization inference packages. I just listed a couple of them here, and I'm sorry if I missed yours. And they're really good at doing like one specific task. You can't see the caption here, but this is a photo from Data Science 8 at UC Berkeley. This is like 500 freshman undergraduates who have no background in stats or computing. And the way they're being introduced is by learning Python, unfortunately, through Jupyter Notebooks, and they're doing resampling methods and permutation tests. So these functions and packages in R that do randomization inference are great, but they're not really a good tool for teaching that. So our idea is to build a package, Permuter, that implements permutation tests in sort of a modular way. So we're creating the building blocks, and hopefully it's transparent how they work. We're trying to keep algorithms and computation in mind while we're writing it, and we're building these things around real data examples and case studies. Eventually, down the road, we're hoping for a book, but we'll see. So I'm going to start with an example about teaching evaluations. So if you've ever taught a class, you have probably been evaluated by your students. At the end of the semester, they do this SET, Student Evaluations of Teachers. They rate instructors from like 1 to 5, and then they're boiled down to a single average for the class. And these numbers are used to quantify teaching effectiveness and to compare instructors across courses and ultimately make decisions about whether to keep that instructor or not. So we wanted to see, are these actually a valid measure of teaching effectiveness if they're being used in this way? So we had a paper in January where we reanalyzed some data sets that were student evaluations of teaching. And I'm going to talk about this really nice one from an online randomized experiment. So students were randomized to 4 sections of a course. And they had 2 instructors. One was male and the other was female. And then in each of the 2 sections an instructor had, in one of those sections, they used the other instructor's name. So in half of the sections, students were deceived of the gender of their instructor. And this way we could look at, was the female identified instructor rated lower on average? So to do this, we generalized the Neyman-Rubin causal framework. You can think of each student as having 4 potential responses, one for each class, and the randomization reveals one of those ratings that they gave. And if the instructor's gender doesn't matter, then 2 pairs of those numbers should be equal, namely the pair corresponding to each instructor. And so this determines the randomization we're going to do. It's a stratified test. So the strata are the instructors themselves, And if the gender doesn't matter, then we can permute the identified gender and things will stay the same. So this is how we get our distribution on the difference in mean ratings. So here's what the code looks like. We just load in the data from Permuter, define what our test statistic is going to be. It's the difference in means. And then the stratified two sample function takes in the outcomes, so response, the group, so that's the two treatment groups, and then a vector with the strata. In this case, it's the actual instructor. And then that will give you the test statistic distribution, and then this T2P gives you the p-value. And here's what the results look like. In all categories, the male identified instructor was rated higher. The second column is our permutation test p-values, and the third is the t-test p-values from the original paper from which we got the data. And you can see the ones marked in red are less than 0.05, and those significant p-values actually differ between the two methods. Now, we have a lot of different categories. This is a multiple testing problem. So to address that, we wanted to combine them into a single omnibus test. So for that, we use non-parametric combination of tests. It's a method for combining p-values from dependent tests to get a single global p-value. We used Fisher's combining function, which has been known for a long time. And if you are able to assume that the tests are independent and all nulls are true, then this statistic is chi-squared distributed. But the ratings from a single student are going to be dependent, not independent. So we calibrate this statistic using permutations. And this is a little bit dense, so I'll skip over it. But basically what you do, you just loop over the different tests that you're doing, keeping in mind that you have to do the permutations the same for each test. So that's why we reset the seed each time in the loop. Hopefully I can vectorize this at some point. And then you get a p-value for each test and combine them in the last line using the NPC function. And we found that the p-value is zero, so we reject the null, that there's no difference in ratings between the female and male and identified instructors. My second case study comes from another interesting data set collected by Naomi Stark and Gilbert Kleiman, who collected videos of therapy sessions between children on the autism spectrum and trained therapists. And they came up with 183 clinically relevant tags for people to look for, different behaviors that could happen in these videos. And 10 raters were trained to identify these things, and they sat and watched the videos in 30-second intervals. And after each interval, they paused and like went down the list and checked which ones they saw. We wanted to see, are these tags meaningful? Are they reliable? So this is a problem with many dimensions. One test statistic is kind of not able to capture them all. So fortunately, the question at hand was actually about each tag individually. So we sort of eliminated that dimension. And then to deal with the number of videos, we considered them separately and then used this NPC thing to combine tests across videos. So now we're down to two dimensions. We have video segments, and then we have raters in this basically binary matrix. Did they or did they not see that behavior? So for a permutation test, we needed to come up with a test statistic for inter-rater reliability, and then a chance model. So we defined this ugly test statistic. The L's are just indicators from that matrix. And then the y sub I is the column sums. And we wrote this rho sub s test statistic, which is just the number of concordant pairs in that matrix. And it simplifies to the bottom row. Basically, you just add up the ones plus the zeros. And then our chance model, if tags are assigned completely at random, then any permutation of tags within a row from a rater is equally likely. And the rows should be independent of each other if raters are assigning tags independently. So basically, the test comes down to computing the test statistic for each video, getting a distribution for each video, and then combining across the videos using non-parametric combination. So here's what that looks like. And we built out this inner rater reliability function, IRR TS distribution and IRR NPC distribution. So what we found was 93 of those 183 tags were significant at the 0.05 level, but maybe the test statistic or the combining method just were not useful, because if you look, you would expect that low concordance in a video would not be significant. But in fact, some of those points to the left are like very small p-values with 0.5 concordance. So this is a case where we want to go back to the scientists and find out like what a good threshold is, effect size. So finally, I'm just going to wrap up with where I think software development fits into statistics. I don't think I need to explain why software is important to this crowd, but this is more a call to action for statisticians. I think it comes down to two things, ethics and impact. Ethics, it's all about reproducibility. I'm sure all of you have seen headlines like this in the news, in journals. People are freaking out about reproducibility, and a lot of it comes back to p-values. So I think part of what statisticians need to do is enable people to make the right choices in their tests, in their software, and make it easy to do that through documentation and just implementing methods. And Binyu from my department, I'm a little biased, she gave a great talk a couple years ago saying, let us own data science. I think that is so important. Like, stats is developing great methods, but data science is moving forward and implementing other things. So if we want people to use the things that we're creating and do it correctly and be reproducible, then we need to be the ones developing software too. So that's the end of my rant. I want to thank my collaborators on this, Jared Millman from Berkeley Biostats and my advisor, Philip Stark. The package is here on GitHub, that's the link, and the slides are also on GitHub if you want to go back and look at anything I glossed over. Thank you.